Alright. Everybody sounds good? Hums are gone? Hums in the bums. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Whether you've only heard of Linux or if you're an expert, here's your chance to learn more about it at the Southern California Linux Expo. For 2010, Scale has expanded to 5 speaker tracks. The expo now includes a beginner's track for those new to Linux and a developer's track for the coders out there. Scale will have over 50 speakers who will cover the latest topics in open source, and the expo floor will have over 80 booths with both commercial and nonprofit organizations showing off their products and software. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 19th, 20th, and 21st, 2010 at the Westin LAX Hotel in Los Angeles. For more information or to register for the expo, visit SoCalLinuxExpo.org. Use promo code CAST, C-A-S-T, for 40% off of your registration. We'll see you at Scale 8X.
I'm Austin bound, get my feelings checked at the door.
That's right, Texas has its own community-run Linux Fest on April 10th, 2010 in Austin, Texas. Go to texaslinuxfest.org for details. And remember, get your Linux on.
I'm Austin bound, get my eyes set on the price. The time is...
Psst, oi, over here. You want to buy this? It's the center of the open source universe. I picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner. It's a bargain. Oi! Oi, come back! Oh. I'm gonna have to find something to do with this. Hold on a minute. Yes, that's right. On the 1st and 2nd of May this year, Liverpool is the only place to be for anyone interested in free software, free culture, and free thinking. It's the second live OggCamp event, organised by Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. We've taken the mantle from Lug Radio Live and we're not giving it back. The 1st and 2nd of May 2010 at the Blackie, Liverpool. Visit ogcamp.org for more details. Also join us on Friday, April 30th for a special free culture gig. Kick off the weekend in style with some great live music. But you might want to leave your hubcaps at home.
One, two, three.
Texas! Texas!
Texas!
Texas!
Texas!
Texas!
Texas! All right.
Thank you.
Big O! Showtime!
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a link it bad. For the stream length, go direct to dlngs.org. And IRC channel is a linuxlink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, as 330 would say. Welcome to TLLTS 241.
341.
341. I'm sitting here drinking a fine Mexican Coke. And the specification is seen. We have a wonderful guest tonight. Jonathan Nadio.
Yes, we do.
Is that how you pronounce your last name? Nadio? Nadio.
Nato.
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 Yeah.
Nato from Frostbite Systems.
Yes, hello.
Welcome.
We have a house tonight.
Frostbite
we have what?
Systems.
Everybody, including Link, Alan, Pat, Joel.
Yes.
Is 330 here? No.
He's an IRC. I think he's on now.
Something dog peed on his router or something like that.
And Dave's not here, is he?
No, he's not.
He went back to his own show now. But little does that matter. Frostbite Systems.
Back to his own show. All right.
How you doing, Jonathan?
Oh, good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be on the show.
It's an honor to have you on the show, sir. Because you got
Absolutely.
A really good company going over there, and why don't you tell us a little bit about Frostbite Systems?
Frostbite Systems, I've been wanting to get this up running for about 2 years now. I don't know if anyone had heard the interview I did with Klotsu on the Bad Apples a few years ago, but I finally got it up and running, and basically I want to be able to provide pre-installed Linux notebooks and desktops for right now to... My main focus for right now is going to be people within the communities of the distributions like Mandriva, Ubuntu, Sabion, Linux Mint, Fedora, OpenSUSE. I want to be able to provide an outlet for the people of the community to be able to purchase desktops or laptops with the distros pre-installed on these computers already, instead of, you know, people that have to go to Best Buy and, you know, still pay the Microsoft tax even if they never boot into Windows. Microsoft doesn't care. They're still getting some money in their pockets whether or not you boot up that computer into Windows or not. So this way, we're providing an outlet for computers to be purchased without any Microsoft products being purchased or installed on these computers at all.
You know, I was thinking about that. I know I heard about you a couple years ago attempting to start this company, and I could have sworn I spoken to you about it before, but maybe it was that I heard you on the Bad Apples.
Yeah, the reason why it took a long time is because like 5 years ago or so I had built a website with building like really high-end gaming machines, and I never really did much with it. It almost got done, but I never really finished it. And I figured, well, since I already had this website done, maybe I can strip it down to the foundation and kind of build it back up. But it was just such a mess in the back end. And sadly, I was into Linux at the time, and this website was built on Microsoft technology. So that wouldn't have been good either. So I basically bit the bullet, and I had to just do the whole thing from the ground up, from top to bottom, and just start the whole thing all over again. So now we're up on open source technology, and everything's running really well so far.
So, you were saying 5 years ago you weren't into Linux.
No.
So what got you involved in Linux then?
Well, back in like 99, I had a recording studio in my house, and the gentleman I was partners with at that time, we were running a Windows system, recording people, and he's like, oh man, there's this thing called Linux, and he was telling me all about it, and he's like, I wish we could do something with that, but it's not quite there yet. And I was like, and I was always interested with it, because he told me kind of like what it was and what it was all about, and I tried searching some stuff out around that time, but it seemed that it wasn't too accessible at that time for blind people. I mean, there was SpeakUp, but it was few and far between distros that actually like included it within the actual within the kernel at that time, and to this date you still have to basically compile your own kernel in order to get SpeakUp running. And Slackware was the only distro at that time that offered SpeakUp kernel, so I started trying to mess around with it, and I had only been in the computers for a few years at that time because I got in a car accident when I was 14 and I lost my sight then. And I kind of got out of computers for a few years, but before that I had a Commodore 64 like in the 80s, and I was messing around with that for a while. And then I got in a car accident, and I got out of computers for a few years. And then got back into computers, and I was using like Windows 98 and the JAWS screen reader. And then reading on Slackware, coming from like using Windows 98, I was like, good lord, this is totally different from Windows. Like, you had to mount the CD-ROM drive and all that stuff, and I was like, you had to, you know, do all kinds of partitioning, and I couldn't even get it running. I tried, but I couldn't even do it, so I was like, ah, man. So I kind of put Linux aside for a few years, and then probably 2 or 3 years ago, I revisited it. I remembered seeing something on Ubuntu, and I went to their website, and they started talking about how it's the distro for human beings, and I read out how it had this thing called Orca in it, which was a screen reader. I was like, huh. So I ended up downloading it, and everything just worked. I think it was 7.10 was the first one I used. And everything on it just worked, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And so I started reading up on Linux and the open source ways, and I was just blown away by how good of a product that could be produced by, you know, open source programmers when I was coming from using JAWS, which is a proprietary software that works on Windows, and they sell this program for like $1,000 to $1,500, and Orca is easily as good, if not better, and it's free and built into the operating system. And I was just blown away by this, and I just fell in love with Linux and just the philosophy behind it, and that's when I, you know, wanted to aim my website that I had towards building pre-installed Linux computers at that point, because I just felt like, you know, not enough people knew about this. And I've heard you say on a few episodes, and I agree with you, Dan, that I think Linux would be adopted more if there was, a, you know, people providing it already installed on computers. If people had to install Windows on computers, Windows wouldn't be as popular as it is. It's just because everyone pre-installs it, and all people have to do is go to the store, buy it, turn it on, and it works. If they had to install it themselves, Windows wouldn't be popular either. It'd be something else that someone started pre-installing on computers. So I just think this is a good way for Linux to get out there, not only for the community members already, but new adopters that you know, want to try out Linux and might be in the market for a new computer anyways.
Yeah, no, I still stand by that. I agree with you. And it's a shame that, I mean, on one hand, it's a shame that you can't go to the store and buy a Linux pre-installed system. But then again, that gives you the opportunity to fill that market.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, are you strictly a web-based shop, or do you have a brick-and-mortar store, too, in your area that people can...
No, I don't have a brick-and-mortar store right now. I did, when I first opened the store back in 2002, I had a brick-and-mortar store. But I was getting so many calls to, like, go to people's houses or, like, businesses to, like, fix their computers. I was just like, you know what, it's going to be easier if I just work on my house that way. If I get a call, I can just up and go instead of having to, like, either close the store, which wouldn't be good, or, you know, wait until after hours to then go to the person's house. Or if it was a business, I'd, you know, have to have them stay open late or whatever. So I ended up just moving everything to my house.
Now, you know, sort of off-topic question. I don't want to derail it too much, but if you're a hairdresser, your family wants you to cut your hair. If you're in the computers, they want you to, you get your family calls you up and friends call you up to fix their computers for free. Since you own a store, you know, you sell computers, do people, like your friends and family, call you up and expect to get computers for free?
I wouldn't say they expect it to, but, you know, sometimes they'll just offer them a better deal or, you know, my friends and family help me out, so they help me out, I help them out, you know. If it's something quick and easy, I'll just fix it for them, you know. If it's hardware, obviously I can't give it away, but maybe I'll give it to them for cost or whatever, but, you know.
So if we friend you on Facebook, we can get free computers?
I'll give you any free distro you want. I'll burn it myself and mail it to you.
Wow, that's a deal.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You send me one and I'll review it for you. Go ahead, John.
I was gonna say, yeah, I plan on. I'm waiting for. There's a new notebook coming in. It's a Core i5 with a. With an NVIDIA. It's a newer NVIDIA chip with a 1 gig video card, and I'm waiting for that to come in. And I'm gonna be using that as my test unit for people. So once that comes in,
nice.
I'll definitely be sending that around. So. I just want to get it in and run it through the ringer and make sure everything's working on it before I, you know, send it out.
Now for Windows users, I have lots of people who are have impaired sight. But for Windows people, JAWS has been ubiquitous, and the cost of JAWS, from what I've heard, has been just, to me, sounds astronomical. For all it does for you, I mean, it's essential, so you have to have it, so you have to pay for it. But
yeah, it's really ridiculous. They like Microsoft make like 2 or 3 versions. So, you know, the regular version of JAWS is like $1,000. So that will work on basically like XP Home or like Vista Home Basic or I'm not even sure which Windows 7 it'll work on, but if you want it to work on like XP Pro, Vista Business, or like Windows 7 Professional, or maybe even Home Premium, you now have to buy the Professional version, which is $1,500.
You're kidding!
You are kidding!
Well,
holy cow!
Well, you know, I wrote a blog post on this maybe 2 weeks ago about the blind optimized computers, and you know, Microsoft made a deal with BlackBerry for like $500 million to be placed for Bing to be the main search within the BlackBerry web browser, and I put Microsoft could have taken 1% of this money and actually created a decent, you know, screen reader within Windows, but instead they leave room for these third party companies to come in. And what these guys do is they jack the price up because government, a lot of government agencies, federal and state or whatever, they pick up the tab mostly for blind people. Like if a blind person's going to school, like in high school or college, or maybe if a blind person needs it for work, the state agency will pick up the tab. So then Freedom Scientific...
That's why it costs $1,500.
Yeah, exactly.
That's absolutely why it costs $1,500. Well, and then Microsoft, here's the other side
Microsoft
of that coin, though.
Microsoft on Win- that to happen.
Right. But on Windows systems, right, when you stick that CD in with JAWS on it, will it on, I mean, can't a blind person install it on their brand new computer? Probably not.
They can install JAWS, but they can't install Windows by themselves. But as long as Windows is running, the minute you stick the JAWS CD in, it will start talking and say, okay, hit enter, and... you know, walk through the
whole,
but...
Now, there you hit on something right there, too. A live distro that is that has Orca installed, pre-installed, targeted at the, you know, sight-impaired users, they could stick that in there, and not only can they use the computer... but they can install their operating system as well, which is stuff they haven't been able to, they can't do with Windows.
Right. Yeah, Ubuntu, I haven't tried out in the last few versions. And around 7.10 and 8.04, they had it working pretty well, but I've seen recently it hasn't been working that well thanks to Pulse Audio. So
yeah, Pulse Audio. Don't get me started.
Yeah, Pulse Audio
or any of us.
Is arch enemy. So... anytime I install a new distro, the first thing I have to do is remove Pulse Audio in order for Orca to even work right. So
right. Now, one of the most important things, in my friends who are sight-impaired, I have a couple that are fully blind, and now there's one guy at work, he actually can see pretty good, but he basically has a big 24-inch widescreen, and he actually runs at like 640 by 480. And one of his biggest complaints is in Windows is that certain things don't resize properly. Now, I know it's probably a valid complaint on Linux, too. But another one, the ones that are worse off than him, I know one guy that's at least fully blind that uses Windows, another guy that is worse off than my friend Bob, and... one of their complaints about some of the voice things with different devices and whatnot, like radios and stuff, that there are actually some ham radios that have some of that in it. But one of their complaints is it's not fast, doesn't read fast enough, because when you don't have your eyes to see, your hearing is amplified, and you can hear better, you can listen a lot better. So they have their screen readers going. I mean, Kajari, who is on Linux Press occasionally, if you ever hear his screen reader in the background, it's going crazy fast.
But, yeah.
So I assume Orca is up to that task.
Yeah, I mean, it's comparable to everything else that's out there. Just the great thing about it is, it's built into GNOME and it's free. So, not only are you getting a free operating system, but you're getting a free screen reader along with it.
Right. Now, if I bought it, now I have my site and I have no need for a screen reader, so if I bought a system off you today, Would the screen, when I boot it up, would the screen reader be active because you set it up, or are you sending it without the screen?
No, that's why I have the separate blind optimized categories. I have the blind optimized notebooks and the blind optimized desktops. So if you buy from one of those two categories, the screen reader is going to be all optimized and ready to go out of the box. But if you buy something from just the desktop and the notebook category that aren't blind optimized, they're just going to be for sighted people.
Cool. Well, that's really cool.
But yeah, you can't
turn
it off,
you're going both ways.
That was the one thing. I've heard some websites say that I'm specializing in blind optimized. I am doing the blind optimized myself, but I don't want people to think that's my only niche. I'm building, you know, like I said, the regular categories are for sighted people, so there won't be any screen reader or anything like that installed on it. It'll just be like a regular system.
Cool. You're doing a really great job from what I'm seeing. Now I can't evaluate that because I don't have a system yet, but to look at yet. I guess I could try it in Orca here, but that is very common. Like for example, I'm looking at my cell phone. Like you said now earlier, you said the Nexus One and other Android phones. There are actually some screen readers for the phones now.
Yes.
And that's not, I mean, a lot of other devices don't have that kind of option. You know, like a deep, like say,
no
for
others
example,
do that I know of.
Like a DVD player or something. I know the iPhone probably doesn't have anything like that. Anyway, go
overhead,
ahead, Dan.
Oh, I was going to say, how much configuration and overhead does adding a screen reader put onto a system? I mean, how much more work do you have to do?
Well, it's not too much. I mean, it might be another 5 or 10 minutes on top of installing the OS. So it's not inconvenient, but if a blind person has never used Orca, when I first posted, I was going to use Ubuntu, but I've been using Debian testing for a while now on my notebook, and I'm much happier with that. So I think I'm going to be switching over to Debian testing for the blind optimized computers, because in Ubuntu, they switched over to that software center thing, and you cannot install, and like Orca does not see anything within that. So a blind user, you know, I'm not going to tell a new blind user, all right, go to the terminal, you want to install Banshee, all right, type in sudo apt-get space install space Banshee, and they're going to be like, what? You know, like, you know, if they're coming from Windows, they're going to be like, this makes no sense at all, you know? So with Debian, they still have the add remove, and Orca works great with the add remove, table there, so I think I'm going
to
be using...
Have you reported that to Ubuntu? Because I'm sure they probably want that to be blind-friendly, I would assume.
Well, you would assume that, but I've spoken with lots of projects, and, like, you know, Ubuntu has an accessibility mailing list, which I'm part of. I'm part of Pulse Audio, the Ubuntu mailing list, the Orca mailing list. I'm part of all kinds of mailing lists, and, like, with Ubuntu... When 9.10 came out, they started using this speech dispatcher instead of... sort of works, but it doesn't have the quick response. There's like a little bit of latency. So now in Ubuntu, and on the mailing list, they're like, oh yeah... Yeah, we know this is a problem, but we're going to fix it next release. And it was like 2 or 3 weeks before they finalized Ubuntu. I'm like, if it's a problem, why don't you just fix it now? Like, because now, in order to get Ubuntu running, like, well, I have to remove Pulse Audio, I have to remove Speech Dispatcher, I have to install the old GNOME Swift thing for the speech synthesizer, then I have to install a few other things, and then it's up and running. But if you try and use it, default, you know, installation, I mean, yeah, it works, but it's definitely not as good as it should be or could be. And like that, and Ubuntu is, you know, I don't really want to get into that, but you know, you can get it running, you just have to know what you're doing. So that's why, with the blind optimize, I'll just get everything running exactly how it should be out of the box, and a blind person won't have to like, I won't let that be a hurdle for them. They won't have to like, oh, this sucks. I have to, you know, it doesn't work good, or why do I have to uninstall this and reinstall that? Shouldn't it just work? And this way everything will just work.
Cool. I mean, that's just, I mean, I don't understand it. You know, they, I mean, it's not, and that's not just an open source problem, because every software company or consumer electronics company, a lot of times they just don't think about people not having sight, being able to pick these things up.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really, I mean, you know, that's like if you have a remote control for a stereo, and it has, you know, nobody has really made, like I like a telephone. Telephone push pads are pretty standard. I mean, at least once you find the five, you can find the rest of the keys pretty easily. But a lot of times, you know, they'll change the order of the keys, or they'll put all kinds of extra buttons on it all around the keypad instead of just putting the keypad all by itself. You know, I mean, these are the kinds of things I hear complaints of from my blind friends that I have about different radios for amateur radio, consumer electronics. You know, almost every one of them have to have a sighted person help them set some new electronic gadget up. And to me, like, and the MP3 players, about the only ones that people can use who are blind are things like the Shuffle, and even then, that's probably kind of a little bit lame right there. But, I mean, I can't imagine using a regular iPod without sight.
No, I use this, I have this Zenstone, it's like $15, it's like a 2 gig Zenstone. It basically looks like an iPod Shuffle, but it's, you know, you just plug it in, Linux notices it as just a mass storage device, drag the stuff over,
right.
Bam, it's ready to go. So it works great.
But then you have like a, like on that, there's no screen, but, you know, how, I mean, I guess you would just have to know what's on it and what order it is in it.
Yeah, exactly.
But, 330 says Rockbox has blind support. I'll have to look at that.
Yeah, I think it talks right out of the box. It'll actually read the menu to you.
I know that you can do. That's right. There is a text-to-speech interface. I actually did play around with it on Rockbox. I couldn't imagine using it. But you know, maybe it's just from where I'm coming from. I don't know. Maybe it might be okay for the, you know, those who really don't have their eyes. Me, I have looked at the RL. Yeah, the Graybeard. It does. It's actually, there's a text-to-speech interface, and as you scroll along with your thumb on Rockbox, it'll tell you the menu. But it sounded like it was a little slow to me.
That must
at
have
least been. That did to me. Yeah, and you couldn't also adjust the speed of it. So basically, you were stuck with whatever speed that they had. So if you wanted to like quickly flick through things, and if you could understand it, the faster voice, you know, you couldn't really speed it up any. If I remember right, I'll have to look at that again. Just because I actually have a cell phone I'm reviewing here, the Jitterbug J. It's basically marketed towards like people like my parents. But I showed it to my partially sight impaired friend at work, and he really liked it. The menuing was simple; he can read it. You know, it wouldn't do you any good if you're fully blind, but it's definitely a definite improvement, and probably one of the first cell phones I've seen that would be pretty good for somebody who has some sight. You know.
Yeah.
But nobody really makes a phone that's really great for blind people, you know, and even then, they're getting more complicated now. It's almost like the old analog phones probably would have been better, I think. Because at least they had somewhat standard keypad layout, and they had a simpler interface. So, but anyway, that I really like what you're doing with that, Jonathan. That's really, really great. The Frostbite systems, I like the fact you're selling your only Linux. We'll only support Linux. Now, do you support multiple distros?
Yeah, we're doing OpenSUSE, Fedora, Mandriva, Fabian, Linux Mint, Ubuntu, and we'll do other stuff upon request, but if you request something else, you might have to give us some time to make sure we get everything working. You know, we, I heard Dan mention a couple weeks ago, like, oh, no Slackware. I would do it, but that defeats the purpose. Like, installing Slackware is so someone else can get it done the way they want it done. So.
Ay, ay, ay. I do not buy your excuses.
Well, I'm running Slackware in my notebook, so.
Wait a second. No. I was going to say, you have Gentoo, but that's Stabion, actually. So.
Yeah, yep, Stabion, OpenSUSE, Fedora. Yep.
How did you, what interests me is, how do you go about, like, somebody places an order for a system, and do you have, like,
yep,
a bunch in stock, or do you have to, like, order it from somewhere else and then
get
it?
I have some in stock, but if it's something I don't have, I can get it the next day. My distribution company is, like, within a day shipping, so I would get it the next day and be able to put it together, install it, as long as I'm not too slammed, I can get out the next day, so I have a pretty quick turnaround.
Because I would assume that you would have, you don't go through normal, like, retail channels. I mean, you have a special. Now, how did you actually get hooked up with that? I mean, was that easy, or did you have to, like, have a business license?
It took some looking around. Like, you know, I had to get a tax ID and, you know, set up some accounts at different distribution companies. But I kind of have a few accounts set up, and you have to pick and choose your battles of what you want to buy from where, because some places have better prices than other things, and, you know, they don't have as good as prices on other stuff. So you kind of got to pick and choose your battles and figure out how to get the best price on everything as a whole.
That is interesting.
You're going through your categories there, and I see you have a ruggedized notebook, the TS-14,
yeah,
I think it is.
Yeah, that just came in today. I actually haven't finished putting it up yet, but it's partly up.
so
yeah, that's a pretty impressive notebook. It's basically a tough book.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, now that's almost identical to a tough book.
The way that thing has been tested, five different units have been dropped 5 times at 29 feet.
That's the kind of notebook that DVH needs for recording the lot of Linux links. That way,
that's
if he
like
gets an accident,
spill-proof and dust-proof and all that stuff.
Spills Mountain Dew on
it. There's all kinds of harnesses on the hard drive, so it's all shock-resistant, and the LCD screen and everything is all shock-resistant. So, it's like I said, it's equivalent to a Panasonic Toughbook. Same idea.
Mm-hmm. So, who are the notebook end, do you buy from multiple companies with the bare-bone laptops like Asus and so on and so forth, or?
Yeah, I'm basically getting a mix between Asus, like, white box notebooks and MSI as a mixture of the two.
Okay.
So I try to get the highest end of everything I possibly can. Like, I have a couple 2-core i7 notebooks now that have a 17-inch model, a 15-inch model, and I have a core i5 coming in, like I said, in a couple weeks, hopefully. So
cool.
And we also have the 13-inch notebook. It's kind of like a more powerful netbook. It has that UAV, like Core Duo 1.4 processor.
Okay.
So a more powerful kind of notebook. There's no optical drive. You can buy an external one, but it doesn't come with one.
Okay. How about any Atom-based products? Are you actually going to get a netbook, a real netbook, or
Well, I've looked at a few. The only, my only problem is not really enough profit margin on those for me to do what I want to do, because I want to be able to, with every computer sold, I want to be able to give back to the distribution that's installed on it. So between giving the portion I'd like to give to these distributions and covering whatever costs I have to take care of with accepting credit cards and so on and so forth, I'd have to jack the price up on these things in order to do what I want to do. And I can't really, I don't want to do that, because everyone would be like, you know, why would I buy a netbook from you for $400 when I can get it from here for $3? So I think for now I might not touch those yet until I can figure out a way to, like, you know, handle it in a fair fashion.
So you bring up a really cool thing. So whenever you sell a system, like say you sell an Ubuntu-based laptop, you actually send a little bit of money to Kenner Uncle?
Correct.
That's a really cool idea. And I'm wondering if anybody else does that. I don't know. Does System 76 do anything like that, Dan, that you know of?
I don't know if they... I think they do throw some type of support. But I don't know if they do... some of the proceeds go directly back to Ubuntu. I know they work
but
very closely with the Ubuntu community.
Right.
That's why I'm trying to aim to all these different distributions, because I'd like to, for the people within those communities to support Mandriva or Linux Mint or whatever. When you buy a computer from us, we're going to give back to that distribution to help further develop the development of the operating system.
That's an awesome idea. I think that's really great.
They'll be supporting the Linux distro.
That makes me more apt. Really, actually, makes me more apt to buy a system from you than it would be from System 76 or from the. I mean, that's a really great idea. I really haven't heard too much of companies doing that. So.
Yeah, I just thought that this would be a way for me to give back to Linux in general, to be able to support these different distros. Like I, because originally when I was going to start to hit the store, I was only going to do Ubuntu. But then after, you know, the years passed, and before I got up running, it's like, I started noticing more and more people are just doing Ubuntu, which is fine. Ubuntu is great. And, you know, I started using Ubuntu, and it's basically my Linux gateway into all the other distros. But Ubuntu isn't Linux. Ubuntu is Ubuntu. There's lots of other stuff out there. So that's why I want to support all the other Linux distributions, because I love Linux.
Right, because we all know that Slackware is Linux.
Well, you know, Ubuntu, they have their own idiosyncrasies, of course. You know, they have their own kernel mods and whatnot. But, you know, it really, you know, all intents and purposes, is Linux. But it's not the only Linux, and I like the fact that you support more than just Ubuntu. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, plus, too, like, because all the distros have the option to, you know, you can donate money yourself, but, I don't know, maybe some people just can't bring themselves to it, or... You know, I'll do it next week. You never get around to it. This way, if you buy a computer for us, don't worry about it. We're going to take care of it for you on behalf of you and on behalf of us. We're going to donate back to that project. And then this way, this will also hopefully motivate the projects to help promote us, saying, hey, get a computer from these guys because they're supporting us. We should support them.
Speaking of support... how do you handle the support for these systems? And I mean, what's it been like?
Well, right now, in the future, I'd like to be able to have an actual support team. But for right now, kind of my main focus with working within the actual distributions, instead of trying to reinvent the wheel by making my own forum on my own website and this and that, I'm trying to point everyone back to the community of the distro for right now. Why Ubuntu's got a great forum, and Driva, OpenSUSE, all those guys have great forums, mailing lists, IRC channels. There's no need to fragment the community even more to get support. So all the machines are tested, all the drivers and everything works, so there shouldn't be a problem with that. So if someone does need support, it could be, oh, I just updated my, you know, computer now, the sound isn't working, or, you know, something along those lines. So hopefully... the time being, they can. I mean, I'll do whatever I can to help with support, but hopefully, for the time being, the open source, the distros can help out with that a little bit for now.
So what about, like, hardware issues then? And warranty?
I'll handle all the hardware issues. Yeah, there's a one-year warranty on all the hardware, and all the labor and all that is all taken care of. I'm going to be offering an extended two-year warranty on the computers if people want them. And hopefully within, I'm trying to work on a deal with another company, maybe within 3 to 6 months, I might be able to have something set up with, as long as someone lives in the United States, I will be able to have someone show up at their door the next day and replace the part, need be.
So what I'm wondering here is, with support, and the majority of your sales, I guess, have been to people within the community.
Correct.
That are already, you know, Linux users. Because, I mean, you're one guy, you're selling Linux pre-installed systems. We hear from the likes of other companies that, you know, the big manufacturers are saying, we can't really afford to sell and support Linux-based systems. So I was just curious, your opinion, being a seller of systems, how much more difficult, in your opinion, it is to support Linux or Windows, or your whole take.
I don't think it's a problem any more than Windows. It's just, you know, Dell and HP and these guys, really the reason why they even started selling Linux, if you think about it, is because Vista was such a car wreck. And they needed to find something to generate money to pick up the slack. And Ubuntu was a great option. And so, you know, I'm sure if Microsoft came in and pushed the screws in on these guys and said, look, you know, if you want a better deal on Windows, you need to stop, you know, selling all these Ubuntu pre-installed computers. If they pushed the screws in on these guys, I'm sure they'd fold a little bit. So all these, HP and Dell and all these other guys, they just picked it up to pick up the slack that they're losing all the sales from Vista. No one wanted a computer with Vista on it, so they had to turn to something else. And so these guys don't really care about Linux. They just care about selling computers. They're not in the business of Linux. They're in the business of selling hardware. So they just don't want to bother with,
I have a good question for you.
Sure.
He's not done answering mine. What are you...
hearing
impaired?
I was going to say they...
Hearing impaired.
Yeah, I have no hearing. I have no hearing.
Impaired, so shut up.
You know, these guys don't want to bother, you know, having to pay, you know, because I'm sure there's Linux, you know, certified people out there that you could easily find and pay them to sit on the phone like these other guys that support Windows. But, you know, they didn't plan on all that. Like, they just want to be able to sell more computers with something else on it. And if, you know, obviously the Ubuntu sales on Dell isn't as much as Windows, so that's money that they're losing now if they have to support it. So it's not that it's harder, it's just more of a pain in the ass for them.
Now I'm all excited to hear your question, Joel. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay. all right. We all know what would happen if, say, you went out and bought, like, a HP laptop that had Windows on it, and you installed Linux on it, and you took it, like, to Best Buy or so on and so forth to get it worked on, and you still had Linux on it, and they would ask you to put Windows back on it or put Windows back on it for you or whatever kind of crap like that is. But let's say if somebody bought one of your systems and put Windows on it, and had a problem with it. Now, would you reject it if they actually had a legitimate Windows hardware issue in Windows? Would you reject the warranty?
If there was an actual hardware issue, yeah, I would take care of it. Because, I mean, you know.
Thank you. And that just goes to show you where we can be better. Well, yeah. I mean, we can be better. I mean, there's all these companies that'll say, well, I'm sorry, it doesn't work on Windows. You know, you're not using Windows. You're not using the right thing, so I can't support you. Well, what if it's a hardware issue? What if it's an ISP and it's a DNS issue? All right, so what? It doesn't matter whether you're using Windows or Linux. You're going to have a problem connecting to the Internet if you can't get a DNS server to work, you know? So, I mean... And that's the way, you know, it shouldn't be that way. Unfortunately, people now treat computers, especially people not like us. You know, the people, the audience of this show, I'm preaching to the choir here, but there's so many people out there that when their computer stops working, if it's running Windows, they just go out and buy a new one, which to me is just wasteful in so many ways.
I can't tell you how many customers I've had over the years when they've had virus-ridden, spyware-ridden computers, and they're like, just let me know if I need to buy a new one. I'm like, really? Like, I just need to format this thing, and you'll be all set. Like, I mean, granted, you'll be back in 6 months, but if I just format this thing, it'll be all set for now. I'm like, are you gonna go buy a brand new car every time you run out of gas? Like, that's crazy, you know?
Don't we
yeah,
all?
But wait a second there. There's some legitimacy to that, though, because the commoditization of and the ubiquitousness of computers these days, you're talking about, you know, the average person's desktop computer may cost $400, okay, at, you know, Office Mac or whatever the hell, or wherever they want to get it. Now, if you have a computer that is completely virus infested and you take it to the average PC repair shop, they charge a bench rate of about $70 an hour. And you can suck that $400 up pretty damn fast. So there is some legitimacy of people saying, listen, maybe it is cheaper for me just to go buy a new computer.
Well, with that,
I concede that, but that's just because people don't want to learn how to use them.
That's very true.
That situation, it would be, because you're looking at like a 2 hour bill, 3 hour bill, so that's $150, $225. With me, I just charge my customers $50 flat rate, boom, I'll format this thing for $50 and get you back up and running.
Sir, you got to learn how to rip people off a little better. I'm just not satisfied with your business practice.
Yeah, I mean that's what I don't get with some of these places, like Best Buy won't charge that kind of rate, but yet all they do is reformat and reinstall Windows, and then maybe back your data up. Big maybe.
Yeah.
You know what? On the flip side to that, I can see why they charge so much, particularly with a place like Best Buy, or a guy that has his own business and has like an actual front end shop. Because if you're working on people's computer and charging them like $50 a pop to fix, to reformat their system, it might be difficult to, you know, earn enough to make a living on top of paying your rent and everything. I mean, I'm just speculating.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, on the flip side of that, you're right. Charging someone the cost of a mid-range new computer to wipe viruses off of their system is you know, obbery in some respects. But, you know, you take the reverse argument to that and say, well, how long is it actually going to take them to wipe the viruses off and test everything? It might take like 4 or 5 hours, and that's a significant chunk of time.
Sure, when you're considering trying to make sure the client doesn't have data loss. You know,
oh, yeah,
that can
that
be
too.
An expensive proposition. I've charged people, you know, $400 or $500 before to fix their computer and make sure that they didn't have any data loss.
Well,
it's an expensive proposition, especially when you're dealing
with... If you don't want data loss.
Operating systems. Now, Linux, that's a little bit different. It's a lot easier with Linux to turn a system around with a clean install.
Yeah.
Even without data, because it's so much easier to apply quick, full archival techniques to Linux file systems than it is to Windows. And it's also much, much faster to get a good, clean working install under Linux than it is Windows. Windows, you have to worry about the drivers and all that but afterwards that you may not have access to. You know, every driver comes with its own CD kind of thing. Whereas Linux, when you do a 15-minute install, everything's already working. So,
yeah, and a customer's computer actually it was their home computer, and it wasn't an older motherboard. It was like an AM2 AMD motherboard, and they lost the motherboard driver, so I went online. It was a Foxconn motherboard. They didn't even support the motherboard anymore. They didn't have any drivers for anything. So I said, looks like they're getting Linux. Stuck in a Linux Mint CD, boom, loaded everything up. I called them up and I said, yeah, I had to put something else on your computer. If you have a problem with it, let me know. I'll reformat it and put Windows on, but I won't charge you to do it over if you want me to, but put something else on. You might like this better. I haven't heard from them since. So I just made a Firefox shortcut and OpenOffice.org word processor shortcut. They're good to go.
It's sad when you convert somebody over to a communist distribution like that and you force them to not support
it. I've turned a few of my customers over to Linux, and I'm like, basically put myself out of business now, because there's one customer I haven't heard from in like over a year now. I put both their sons on Linux, and I was like, you never want a virus or any of that stuff again here, give this a try. And they're like, all right. And I actually had to call them the other day just to make sure everything was all right. And they're like, yeah, everything's running great, thanks. I was like, oh, I guess we won't be hearing from them for a while until they want a new computer.
Well, you know, that's actually, it kind of stinks in some respects, but it's great to hear that.
Yeah, I'm glad, you know, I'm just glad that they trust me enough to, like, try this thing that they'd never even heard of, you know. I was like, trust me, if you have any problems, just give me a call, let me put this on for you. And they did. I just gave them a quick, like, 5-minute, here's where this is. And I said, okay. And they went home, and they've been using it ever since.
Now, back a second to that conversation about the wiping as opposed to attempting to fix the computer. You say you charge a flat rate of $50 to wipe out the OS and reinstall it. Now, did you say that reinstall includes the drivers?
Yeah. I do everything.
Does that include drivers that they don't provide you with, that you'll hunt them down?
Yeah,
and
I just hop online and get them.
I honestly have not had to support Windows in a long time because I don't do that anymore. And I remember the hell that you would go through when trying to find drivers in some respects, particularly for generic systems. And has it gotten any better, or is it still...
No, but the trick is to really make it as quick as possible. There's usually some numbers kind of near the socket on the motherboard. Google those numbers, it'll pull up the motherboard.
What about peripherals and stuff?
Like the video cards or whatever?
Yeah, I guess that's pretty...
What do you mean?
I remember having to look crap up on the web, and it would take you to some driver warehouse type thing, and they would want you to register or, you know, pay.
Yeah, they still have those, but most of the manufacturers are pretty good now. They pretty much host all of their own drivers and stuff. Most of them. I've yet to really run into a problem now. But, yeah, 5-6 years ago it was bad like that. But I think it's gotten a little bit better.
Well, you know, now one thing that has me and piqued my curiosity is you being visually challenged. How difficult is it to work on someone else's system? I mean, because you don't necessarily have a screen reader on their system. So, I mean, is there anything you have to do?
Yeah, my wife. My wife helps me out.
That's cool. Now, is she?
So you really do have a screen reader.
Yeah, screen reader. Yeah. The best kind.
I have my own, in-house screen reader.
So this is she pretty technical herself, or has she learned a lot of this stuff along the way?
She wouldn't admit it, but I think she is. She's pretty good. Like, you know, back in 02 when we first opened the store, she knew nothing about computers. So I'd have to tell her, all right, you see this? Click here. Now read me what you see. And she'd read me, okay, now I need to click on this. And then... But after all the years of her, you know, me walking her through stuff, now she pretty much can do everything on her own. Now when we get computers in, like, if I have to go to school, I'm like, hey, don't forget, we need to do X, Y, Z on this computer and back up this person's stuff. And she'll be like, okay, and then she'll just do it, and I'll get home, and it'll pretty much be done. And I'll just make sure, remember to do this or that. So she's good.
That's a good woman. It's a good woman.
So... I guess if she contracts laryngitis, you're kind of screwed, aren't you?
Yeah. When I first started getting to Linux, though, oh, man, she hated me. Because I was, like, I was downloading distros, like, they're going out of style, and I'd, you know, have her install one. You know, here, when you install it, she's like, all right. I install it and mess around like Mandriva for like 5 days or something. Be like, all right, now I need to install OpenSUSE. And she's like, I thought you just installed that one. Like, yeah, I did. I need to try this one now. And like for like a good 6 months, I was just like jumping from back and forth to all kinds of stuff. I had like 6 or 7 hard drives on my desktop, and I was just plugging all of them in individually and like loading all the different distros on them and playing with them. And you know, for like a year, she was like, I don't want to hear anything about Linux because that's all I would talk about. But now she, you know, we all use Linux now. My son uses Linux on his computer, and we've all switched over.
How old's your son?
7.
Just wait in 5 years, he'll be sneaking Windows in the back door. Be like, you like go upstairs, and he'll be like slamming his laptop down, hiding under the bed. You'll be like, what's going on here?
I hear the Windows 7 theme music?
Where did you learn to do this? All my friends are using it.
Windows 7 is the devil!
But you know what? In 5 years, it won't be Windows 7 anymore. What's the next one coming out?
Who knows? It'll still be 7. At the rate they go.
The rate they're going, it'll still be XP on the majority of systems, too.
It'll
be like Windows 7 Service Pack 3 or some shit like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Thanks for giving your stamp of approval there, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad I don't like supporting Windows. I have to do it at work sometimes when people have a problem. They'll come to me first before calling support. And, you know, when it's a Windows based issue.
It's like, I don't know.
Why is my wireless card not working?
You're like, call a help desk.
Yeah,
I totally avoided even using Vista. And I haven't, I sort of used 7 the other day because at school we had to kind of use it for some crap. And I was like, wow, this is a really stupid way to set up an operating system. Like, you know, within GNOME, like, at the most, 2 or 3 clicks and you're exactly where you need to be. You don't need to go any deeper than that. Within Windows, it's like, here, click on this. Now you got to go here. Now you got to go into your network neighborhood and then you can find this and that. You have to go, like, you know, 10 levels deep to even remotely find what you're looking for. I'm like, this is idiotic.
Plus, I don't know if any of you looked at Windows 7 much. I have to have done it at work a little bit, unfortunately. But they actually did something a little bit smart, and they actually have, when you do a fresh install on a new machine, they actually have 2 partitions on it now. One is your boot partition, and then the other is everything else. I mean, probably the first smart thing I've ever seen, and it's not even that smart.
You know what? Somebody was mentioning Apple in the IRC, and it question I did want to ask you. I don't know if you've ever worked with Apple systems, but Apple prides itself in some respects as being a lot more accessible, and their screen reading technology that they have built in, they say is they claim to be really good. I was wondering if you had any experience with that, how that compares with JAWS and or Orca.
I haven't used it. I've seen it demoed. It's better than Windows, because whatever Windows offers, it's just absolute crap. It's not even worth mentioning that Windows even has one. The Apple one does seem to work kind of well, but like from what I've seen people demoing, the keystrokes are kind of difficult to get your head around. And, you know, yeah, it might be great, but you know, you're looking at buying an Apple for, what, $1,500, $1,000? I mean, you know, you might as well buy a $500 computer and buy, you know, a copy of JAWS or whatever for that price. You're looking at the same thing. I mean, JAWS is just as good as what's available built into Apple. So, I mean, it's really, you know, not too much of a difference between those two, as far as I can tell. I've never actually used it, but I have seen it demoed quite a few times, like an hour-long demo, so...
Here, I have an interesting question. It's not along the screen reader line, although it seems like that's usually where the sight impaired go. What about haptic interfaces? Like, for example, having a mouse that vibrates when you hit the edge of a window or something like that. Can that be done on Linux?
I'm not really sure. I don't know. I mean, me, myself, I like just have my hands on the keyboard and just arrowing and tabbing through everything. I think that it's a lot quicker, probably. So, I mean, if you had a mouse that did give you that feedback, you know, if you went too fast, who knows how many windows you might have skimmed over, or
right.
You might have missed, you know, something. This way, if you're tabbing and arrowing through stuff, you know you're not going to miss anything, like a link or, you know, whatever you're trying
okay.
to read or click on.
So that probably wouldn't be useful there, because I know, like, on my Android G1 phone, on my G1,
yep.
Like, if you hit a button, it'll vibrate, and,
Well, that helps with the, like I was telling you about, the ice-free program that you can install into Android.
Right.
It basically installs its own sort of homepage, and when you run your finger over the screen, it'll vibrate every time you're within a new window, and it will also read what window your finger is in. So not only do you have the audio feedback, but you also have the physical feedback. And then when you want to open up something, you just lift your finger up when you're on what you want to open, and it just opens. And then you can scroll
nice.
Through. If you open up, like, the applications, the application screen comes up, and then you just use the wheel, and you just scroll through the applications, and then you can click the talk button, and it opens up that application. And, you know, then you can, if you have to, you can maneuver through it again by touching the screen, whatever. Not every application is accessible yet, but the, you know, the main functions, like the dialer is accessible. You can run your finger over the dialer, and it'll tell you what number you're on. You just lift your number up, and it'll hit that number. You know, it'll read your text messages to you, stuff like the basic functionalities. You can't surf the web or anything yet with it, though.
Right. That's really kind of cool, actually. I always wondered that, you know, haptic has been huge in gaming and stuff, but nobody really has, you know, done much to make it useful for other things. And to me, I think that's one area that would probably be useful in is sight impaired. But then you bring in a really great point, too, in that by just using the keyboard, you absolutely know where you are. You know that, hey, I pressed the right arrow 3 times, so I'm on this
right.
window.
Well, I mean, if on a phone, though, the sense that, you know, there's not as much real estate, it's a little more
right.
easier
right.
to manage at that point. So...
Right, well, and most phones, unless you're Android or some rudimentary multitasking in Windows Mobile, you know, we already know the iPhone doesn't have it, and actually Windows Phone 7 isn't going to have multitasking either, so they're kind of taking a feature away from Windows
yeah.
Mobile. Not that it ever worked well to begin with, but... So, I mean, that you know, that kind of interface, you literally need to have multitasking, because not only do you have to run the phone itself or whatever application you're on, but it has to also be able to speak to you, too. In some cases, you'd have to have the app customized for that, probably, on a phone anyway.
Yeah,
I know the
guys that do the iFree project actually work
okay.
for Google, and they actually implemented a thing not too long ago where it's basically like an API where as long as you have to download it and like activate it, you turn it on, and by default it'll do its best at turning every application in your phone accessible. So even with people programming apps for Android that don't intend on it being accessible for blind people, this program will do its best to make it accessible without them even considering it.
Wow.
So.
That's some cool stuff.
Jonathan, we had a question in the IRC that they said, when Gorkon is done monopolizing the conversation, can you ask this question? I wonder,
I'm asking
Warrior
you a question.
Wants to know, But BitWarrior wants to know, what applications are needed for the site challenge that do not exist yet? And I would assume he's talking primarily on Linux, but you could just answer that any way you wish.
That's a good question. Let's see. I know some of, like, the audio recording stuff isn't very accessible, like, you know, Audacity or Ardour. I've tried messing around with those, and, you know, the problem with, like, screen readers is if it thinks something is a graphic, it'll ignore that thing. So even if there's, like, text within a box, but there's, like, a button, it'll just ignore that whole thing and not even acknowledge that there's anything there, because it's sort of in, like, a graphic, what it would be considered, like, a graphic field. So screen readers ignore things like that. So things aren't, you know, some programs that you would think would be accessible aren't. I mean, I can pretty much get to everything I need to. I mean, Evolution is very accessible. I use that for my email. You know, Firefox works great. Unfortunately, Firefox is the only web browser that really works with Orca. Orca doesn't seem to work with any WebKit browsers at all, like Chrome or Midori. I've tried a whole bunch. None of those work. Firefox is the only one that seems to work. I use Vim a lot. OpenOffice works great. You know, if I open up like a plain text file, Gedit reads everything great. I don't think there's too much that I can't do that I want to do, just outside of like maybe the audio recording, but everything's, for the most part, pretty accessible. I use GPotter for my podcast. That's a great program. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's too much that I can't do that I want to. I'd like to be able to work on being able to design an operating system that is completely accessible from start to finish. I mean, I know Ubuntu sort of makes it so you can have Orca running from the installation process, but it's sort of cryptic the way you have to get it to work, and they don't document it very well. And, like, when Ubuntu boots up and it's at that first screen where you can either click, like, install or go to the live session or whatever, you have to hit F5, and then you have to choose a screen reader, then you have to enter, then it brings you back to that original screen, then you hit install, and then Orca will start working. So you'd have to, like, you know, make sure you're guessing, like, where you are in the process. Okay, I hit F5, I need to wait 10 seconds to make sure I'm at the menu to activate Orca. Then you do that, then you hit enter, and then you have to wait a few seconds to make sure you're back at the menu to hit installation. So I want to be able to design something where you stick the CD in, and the first thing that's going to happen is Orca is going to come up right away. So if a blind person does need to, like, reinstall, or maybe they have an older computer or whatever, they'd be able to do it completely on their own with no sighted help at all.
Almost like they should build into Ubiquiti a button that when you get your mouse near it, like a big button, when you get your mouse near it, it says, and it would just say enable screen reader. That's the only button that would do anything. You know, then you click that button and it would do everything you need to do to enable the screen reader for you. It seems like something that I would think Ubuntu would want to do, is considering the route they're going with usability.
Yeah, well, even OpenSUSE, like on 11.1, they did a great job. They put a lot of work into making a talking installer for OpenSUSE, where the disk would boot, your computer would beep once, you'd hit F9, and then it would start talking. And it walked you through the whole installation. You can install it from start to finish. You get, you know, OpenSUSE installed. You start using it. So I clicked on Firefox to go online, and then Orca wasn't reading anything. And I was like, that's weird. So I tried it a couple times, and I had my wife look at the screen. I was like, this is online, right? She's like, yeah. I was like, So then I went to the forums. And I was trying to search around. And then someone in the forum was like, oh, yeah, we noticed that there's a problem. We're using, like, some newer library in GTK, and it doesn't work with Firefox.
No.
So, yeah, you're not going to be able to surf the web.
Ah.
I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, you guys did all this work to make this awesome installer, which I appreciate, but no one checked to see if you could go online? I was like, who is in charge of this? You know, like,
oh.
Wait,
See, and that actually would, people that I know of that are hearing impaired, my friends, would be extremely frustrated by that, and they'd be back on Windows and JAWS in a heartbeat. I mean,
yeah, no, I'm stubborn. I always like the underdog, so I was just like, well, hopefully they'll get. I haven't tried out 11.2 yet, but
if it wasn't for stubborn people, then nothing would get done in this world.
Yeah,
stubborn and passionate.
But yeah, so I mean, there's people trying out there. I just don't think there's enough, maybe blind people to kind of push people along, or you know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I would spread myself out too thin, though. Fedora's another one. Like, everything works great with Orca. The one small problem with Orca, everything works great out of the box. You don't have to screw with anything. Everything just works. The one problem with Fedora is, with Orca, say if you're reading a few sentences, and you listen to the first few words, you're like, oh, no, I don't want to listen to this sentence. I want to arrow down. If you arrow down in mid-sentence, it could be anywhere from like a 3 to 6 second lag before it like catches up and starts reading the next line. But if you let it finish reading the sentence, it's wicked fast at getting down to the next line when you hit the arrow key. So with me, I can't do that because, you know, the only way I can skim is by listening to a few words, hit the arrow. That's the only way I can skim. I can't listen to a whole sentence just to make it go faster through the sentences. And if I hit the arrow key 4 or 5 times, I have to wait 10, 15 seconds before it even catches up to where I am. And then I realize, oh, I'm on the wrong line. Now I need to jump back around and find where I'm at. If it weren't for that, Fedora would be great right now. But that's the one problem Fedora has, too. So everyone's got their... I mean, just like with all you guys, you know, every distro has its own... Even though you can see, every distro has its own little, you know, quirks or whatever that you might not like, so...
Like, some of us like to use Wicked over Network Manager. Still.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's really cool. But it's just I feel really good about your company. I think it's a good idea. I don't think that anybody's really kind of tackled it from that kind of angle, and I hope you do well.
Yeah,
hope you do real well.
Do what I can do. The one project actually that I've worked with that has been the most responsive to me suggesting things is with Slackware. I used the GNOME Slack build. If you go to gnomeslackbuild.org, I installed that over Slackware because I need to use GNOME to use Orca, and I got it installed. And then I tried to get Orca going, and I noticed it wasn't even in there. And I was like, oh, man. So I hopped on their mailing list, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm a blind user, and I installed GNOME, and it doesn't have Orca. And I see on their website, it mentions that you have it. And the maintainer of the project was like, oh. He's like, yeah, I'll work on it right now. I'm going to throw it in the GNOME Slack build current, test it out. And when Slackware 13 comes out, it'll be ready. And I was like, all right. So Slackware 13 came out, I installed it, got the GNOME Slack build on, and sure enough, he had it up and running. It was great. I was like, wow, they were the first project to really, like, act on, you know, someone asking them if they can help them out. You know, it's not the case with most of the other places I've tried to voice my opinion or whatever.
It's good when you get a response like that. That you can actually talk
it's great. I mean, I know I've emailed Pulse Audio and like no one ever emailed me back, and like I was like, that's great. And then, you know, I've mentioned a few things on like the Ubuntu accessibility, like, yeah, we know, we'll get to it. And I'm like, you know, like, I'm like, there's like a dedicated person for the accessibility of Ubuntu. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, it's your job to like make sure stuff works, and you know. I don't know, so I guess one person can only do so much or whatever, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, I don't understand companies or projects that are like that. The Pulse Audio folks seem to be, I mean, even for us sighted people who can do certain things, you know, we have, huge beast with Pulse Audio, and we've complained about it and complained about it and complained about it, and nothing seems to get done.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote on the mailing list, I was like, look, I'm a blind user, I use Orca, I accept the fact that, you know, everyone's using Pulse Audio. I was like, I went to your website, I was like, can someone please write some documentation on what I need to do to optimize Pulse Audio to work the right way with Orca? Like, because I was like, I have no idea how to do it, so could someone write up the documentation? That way I would know how to, you know, I don't care if I have to do it myself, but at least give me the, you know, a direction of what I have to do to set it up. No one ever emailed back at all. I was like, that's great.
Yeah, Pulse Audio sucks.
But,
I think
well,
it should be removed as a default sound daemon
in
all Linux distributions.
Well, I mean, yeah,
I
that's
agree.
The first thing I do with every time I install any Linux distribution. The first thing I do is go to the command line, remove Pulse Audio, because that's the only way I can get Orca to work right.
Now, to be fair though, Orca, is Orca supposed to work with Pulse Audio?
Yes.
Okay. Apparently, it doesn't work very well.
Yeah, no one knows how to really. I mean,
nothing
Kajari
works well
does,
with
he's
it.
Like,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Pat. He's crazy, so he knows how to set that stuff up.
Yep.
But you know,
where the heck is Kajari? You should be in there tonight.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's supposed to work, you know, but no one either A knows how to do it exactly, or B probably cares. So
or tests.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. I think that you should, and I'm being serious about this, you should directly appeal to Mr. Bacon, Jono, the community manager, and say, hey, I would like to do some testing for Ubuntu on accessibility. And you know, get, the projects need somebody with that voice. And you need somebody, you on the other side of the coin, you need somebody that already is in the, you know, working with the distribution to say, hey, I really think we need to get this guy to help us out with this. And it would make us so much better.
Yeah, I contacted actually Paul Frields from Fedora and asked him about, because I joined Fedora, like, as a user or whatever, and when you join, they're like, oh, here, join this team or this team or this team. And I noticed, I was like, hey, there's no accessibility team. So I emailed saying, hey, you know, I'm a blind user and I like to do testing for Fedora with Orca. And he was like, all right, well, get a hold of these guys and these guys. And unfortunately, I haven't even been able to do it because I'm going to school, too, and I've just been, like, crazy busy. So I just haven't been able to have the time to actually contact someone and see what I can do to... Because, like I said, out of all the distros, Fedora is probably the closest. Fedora's the closest, I think, with being just ready to go out of the box. Or even Debian testing is, like, the best experience I've had so far. When I installed that a few weeks ago, I just got Orca going. I didn't have to uninstall anything. I didn't have to install it. Everything just worked perfectly. So that was the best experience I've had with Orca. That's why I'm thinking of switching over to testing for the blind optimized computers, because it just works great.
Outstanding. Great.
You know,
that's what they need.
You know, I did have a question about how you do the installs. I mean, do you have an automated process for doing it? Do you actually just sit down and install it like a normal, you know, normally you would install it?
Yeah, I bring the disk and I hand the computer to my wife and I say, I need you to install it for me.
Damn. So you do have an automated procedure.
Yeah, it's called the wife droid.
I have a question for you,
awesome.
Ben. Are you actually doing any work, or is it just your wife?
No, I handle all the other stuff. She just does, you know, installing some of the stuff or whatever. And I have a team of people. I have a partner, and I have a team of people that build the computers, and we do. So she's not handling the actual installation on the Frostbite computers. She just does it for me.
Man, that's some sweet stuff. Jonathan, one thing that was called to my attention today, and I think it was by Pegwall, was an awesome product that you could consider selling alongside of your systems as an add-on. I'm putting the link in the IRC for Hot Hardware Products. It is the G-Point mouse, which combines web browsing and slightly twisted sex education.
Oh, yeah.
It is a mouse in the shape of women's genitalia. And you can
I didn't
what
see that on the website, so.
At least you didn't say lemon tuna mouth.
and the mouse button is what you would expect it to be in that case, but I posted the link in there.
Speaking of that, though, that's another thing that I want to let everyone know, too, is I'm definitely open for any suggestions of maybe products that, you know, that we don't offer that people would like to see Linux on. I'm definitely open to anything that, as long as I can handle doing it, like I said, like with the netbook thing, I just can't do it right now with how I want to work everything. It's just, it wouldn't be right doing that, but if there's anything else that people can think of that they'd like to see Linux pre-installed on stuff, I'm definitely open to any kind of suggestions to provide that for anyone. So, or even like anything custom that you don't see on the website, like a really custom customized computer, like if you want an SLI system or some other, I can get other notebooks other than those on the website. I can get notebooks with SLI already in it and stuff, but those aren't probably going to be very popular. So, but if people, you know, want to spend like $2,000 or whatever, I can get those. I just didn't put them online because I don't think they'd be too popular. So, but like I said, if there's any sort of desktop configuration or some kind of notebook, get a hold of me and I'll do my best to find it. If it's a specialized order like that, though, you might have to give me some time to actually, you know, be able to get it in and load whatever you want on it, make sure everything's working right before I get it out to you. So you might have to be patient if you want something specialized, but for anything that's on the website, it's a pretty quick turnaround.
What about stuff like batteries, extra batteries? Like if somebody orders a laptop and they need to get batteries. I mean, obviously, you don't keep that stuff in stock. Are they easy for you to get?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, battery. Any extra parts, you know, AC adapters, whatever you might need, I can get any of that stuff.
Because I know I need to get a battery. I need to get a battery for my System 76. And it's a pain in the ass to hunt them down. They're so damn expensive.
Yeah, batteries aren't cheap. You're looking at like at least, you know, $100, $125 or something.
And if you buy it cheap, you're risking quality.
Yeah, you might end up needing a new battery 6 months from now.
Yeah. Damn. Damn batteries. Ay, ay, ay. You know what I have noticed in the past couple of weeks? Just keeping up with some of the news is that there seems to be an overwhelming backlash against open source development, saying it's not really that great. Has anybody else noticed that? It seems to be like the new thing popping up. Like every so often,
just
like
you.
you hear like these you know, you get like an every couple of months, like, there's like this, all of a sudden there's this like wave of why Linux sucks and Windows is better type garbage going out there. Like, what was some of the, oh, it's too difficult for the, you know, standard user, you know, drivers are a pain in the butt to install, and, you know.
Well, drivers are more of a pain in the butt than Windows.
This is obviously coming from people that have never, A, installed Linux, or B, even used it. I
there
was
you
telling
go.
About a customer a few weeks ago that I put Linux on their computer because I couldn't find the drivers and the Linux kernel just installed all the drivers. These people are like close to 70. I put Linux Mint on their computer. I haven't heard from them in like 2 weeks. Because when I gave it to them, I said, please, call. If you have any questions, don't be afraid to call me. I'll help you out. I haven't heard from them at all. I gave them a Firefox icon on the desktop, OpenOffice icon on the desktop. That's all I needed. They were done. So for people to say that it's difficult and, you know, oh, there's problems loading drivers, the only problem I could see with a driver is if someone had a Broadcom chip or something in their laptop. Other than that, there's like, it's very hard to find a problem with drivers now in Linux. Unless you get like some bleeding edge like motherboard where, you know, the kernel team hasn't had time to, you know, implement the drivers for like the, you know, the sound card or something. Other than that, I mean, Linux pretty much takes care of everything.
Or some brand new Linux or They have a brand new USB device of some sort, like a webcam or something silly like that.
Right,
even
exactly.
They're starting to get supported well, but occasionally there will be a brand new one that just won't work. Or I even had a USB. I even had a USB sound device not work. Right off
but
the
even,
bat.
Even that,
but
even with that, the Curl team already implemented, you know, USB 3.0 before USB 3.0 stuff was even out. So.
Yep. I mean, it's
yeah. So I mean,
you know,
people spraying that stuff are probably people from the Microsoft camp trying to, you know, get people to steer away from anything with Linux, so that way when they hear Linux, like, oh, I heard that's tough to use, or, you know, I had one customer where I was like, you know what, let me, you know, there's this thing called Linux, let me try putting on, you know, try it out on your computer. I kind of told her about it, and she's like, all right, well, give me a day, I'm going to talk to my husband. I said, okay. And she talked to, like,
right.
her husband's friend or something that was supposedly some computer science major, and he told her, oh, no, you don't want to install that. You know, you have to use this thing called the terminal and, like, you know, this, that, the other thing. It's like, what was the last time that dude used Linux, like, 1994 or something? Like, it's come a long way since then. And, like, usually any time anyone compares Linux to anything, they compare it to what it was like in 95, 96. That's like saying, you know, if some Windows fanboy, like, you know, oh, I'm not going to try Windows 7 because 95 sucked. You know, like, it's changed in, you know, 15 years. So.
A little. I remember trying to get my modem to work under Linux. Of course, it was one of those Win modems, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think people that talk like that have never used Linux or even been anywhere near Linux and, you know, just kind of repeat what they hear.
Jonathan, they don't need to be. They know. They know the truth out there.
I'm a computer science major. I'm in my second year right now. And the first semester of my computer science classes, I was the only person using Linux out of 20 kids in my class. And I was like, are you kidding me? You guys are like computer science majors, and like half of them never really heard of Linux. The other half sort of did. And by the end of the semester, I had all of them running Linux on their laptops. Like the one of the last classes we had, we basically had an install fest, and I brought in like all the distros I had to say, all right, here we go. And then everyone started kind of booting live CDs to see what they liked. Some kids put on Sabian, some put on Ubuntu, some put on Fedora, Linux Mint. But by the end of the class, everyone was running Linux before the semester was over.
That's cool. I tell you, one more area that kind of a weird mentality is I'm taking a couple classes in Rich Media. One is called Rich Media, and the other one's like a Rich Web Communications or something like that. And they basically said, well, they're using, of course, Adobe tools. They're using Dreamweaver, and they're using Flash. And for the Dreamweaver one, I was sitting there watching a video produced by Adobe, of course, where they're saying that Dreamweaver is a industry standard for web development. I said, huh? I mean,
yeah.
I was a little bit blown away by that in the video. I'm like, is?
the industry standard for web development, for all the web developers that I know that
it's a text editor.
Yeah, it's a text editor.
Yeah.
And a browser.
I know, that's what I used to do in my programming, and everyone else is using like Eclipse, and I just use VI.
Yeah. Well, see, then that's the war right there. What's the industry standard? What text editor do you use? You know, it's like, oh.
Bye.
Yeah, that starts a war.
Vim.
Yeah.
Emacs.
Yeah, what else do you run? Emacs.
Yeah.
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 I know, my...
Emacs
is an the first Java programming class I had, my teacher was way into Linux and open source, and we got along great. And the first class is like, oh, you should use Emacs. Give this a try. It's like, all right. And he's like, yeah, all you gotta do is hit Control X, Control V, you know, hold down Shift and Alt and do that. I was like, what? This is insane. And then I installed Vim, and I was like, ah, this is much easier. Hit I to insert and just start typing. That's more my speed.
Well, I always have an inclination to get trying out Emacs there, but I never get around to doing it. There's so much to learn in VI that, but I think to myself, do I really want to take on that challenge too?
I know, because I have a few VI like cheat sheets bookmarked, and I kind of read over them to kind of pick up on more and more commands. And it's like, man, this is like never ending. You can do like ridiculous stuff. And like Emacs is on the same level, just like a whole other way of doing it, though. That's the problem. You'd basically have to forget everything you know in Vim or VI and then just relearn everything in Emacs, because nothing carries over.
Yep, that's for sure.
Don't they have a VI, a Vim setting in Emacs? That's what they need.
I'm not sure.
Well, Emacs was popular in a time where you didn't have X Windows, you didn't have the ability to have multiple terminals open, you didn't have tab terminals, and I mean, it was just a different time when the Emacs came out. There's still some people that cling to it, though.
Oh man, it's getting late.
Yes.
There's been very little Android talk this week. Which is surprising, because I know someone else who got an Android this week.
Go, Link! Go, Link!
Go, Link, go! Shake it, Link!
Shake it like you break it.
You know, I gotta say, I cannot wait till my AT&T contract is over. You guys are on Verizon, right? I mean, AT&T is just...
I'm T-Mobile.
Crawling. You're T-Mobile?
T-Mobile.
It's crawling to a halt, crashing, burning around here. I mean, I tried to call my wife the other day. It took me 10 tries to get through. I got busy signals.
You're kidding.
Like, who gets a busy signal anymore? On a cell phone?
No.
Like, I call...
Yeah, I just got a droid the other day.
It's terrible. Yeah. I call, it would drop, it would say network is busy. I call, it would ring and go right through her voicemail. I would call and it would get a busy signal. Then the network would drop, and then I call, and then she'd call me, and she's like, oh, I'm, you know, I see that you're trying to call me, and I'm like, yeah, and then it dropped a call, and I'm like, come on. And you know what? And I'm right in Center City, Norfolk, with 5 bars.
Man,
5 bars. That's the problem, you had 5 bars.
Well, that's it, huh? It is 5 bars. Yeah, it was 5 bars. It was at max. Max. Throw the damn thing out the window. Pisses me off.
You sure it's AT&T and not your phone?
Dude, I've gone through 3 phones.
Really? Okay, never mind then.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, I've had 3 different phones in 2 years because I've busted them. And it's been progressively getting worse as time goes on. And I hear that when the iPad comes out, it's just going to destroy the 3G network for AT&T.
Well, here's the other side of that coin, though, Dan. I have a friend. She has an AT&T plan and a phone and all that. She's up for renewal Friday. And she was asking, well, what phone should I get? You know, I was thinking about getting the iPhone. And I said, well, let me look and see what they had, and I look at the only thing that only phone that was even worth looking at was the iPhone. You know, the other ones were Windows Mobile crap, which were, I mean, I can't recommend them at all. You know, and there's no Android. There's no Android.
Get a couple
phone.
Androids on AT&T, like I think in end of March,
yeah.
April.
The Flip or yeah,
they're getting the Motorola Flip, and they're also getting the Xperia. And also the Dell Mini 5. I think the Dell they're also getting.
Well, then there's these mini smartphones that are starting to come out now, too. Some Android-based, some not.
I think Motorola is coming out with a really sick Android phone. I think it's Motorola called, like, the Scorpion or the Scorpio. I think I heard rumors
Devour?
Like a dual. What's that?
Wait, maybe the Devour.
No, this is. I think it might be for Sprint because I heard it has 4G connectivity.
Oh, and really?
It's supposed to have dual, yeah, it's supposed to have a dual core 1.5 gig processor with like Android 2.2 on it.
That's like a Cortex A9, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know how. You know,
T-Mobile's supposed to roll out 4G this year.
Maybe it'll be a T-Mobile phone. I'm not sure. I just assumed it was Sprint because I knew Sprint was the only ones that had 4G up right now. So I didn't know if anyone else was rolling it out soon enough or not.
Well, they were supposed to have.
There was a question in the IRC when Joel's done. Go ahead, Joel.
I'm sorry. See, they were supposed to have 7.2 megabits on T-Mobile, and I haven't seen anything close to that yet. Of course, it might just be because I got a G1. But go ahead. Dan.
Ravineer was asking in the IRC, does anybody know if the G3 network affects the Edge network?
Not sure.
Is one side, okay, on my G1, if I'm on 3G, I can take phone calls, alright? If I'm on Edge, I cannot. Because basically, Edge goes over the voice connection, 3G, HSDPA, 3G.
Yeah,
does not.
3G is separate.
Right.
On
Verizon.
Networks, on Verizon.
Right, Verizon, it doesn't matter. If you're on VVDO, you're on the phone and you cannot get a phone call, right, Alan?
True. Well, if you're on the internet and you get a phone call, it'll bump you off the internet, and
right.
You'll get the phone call come through.
Which is the way it should be. The phone call should have the higher priority.
Yeah, the phone call always has priority.
Right. But if you're in the middle of a download, that download would terminate then, right?
No, I think my stuff has always come back to where it was. Now, I've never been in a download in the middle of it, so I may not be true there. But I know my sessions have always come back.
Right. Yeah, I know what'll happen on mine when I get a phone call. If I'm browsing, the browser will do a refresh. So...
Let me bring up one topic. How disappointed must the MAMO devs be, man? You guys hear about what
Migo?
What Nokia is doing?
Migo's merging
with MAMO. But I don't know.
Right.
The impression that I get, it sounds like they're just slapping QT on top of Mobilin.
But. What's not clear is Hilden history. You know, Hilden and GTK history on there. You know, I don't know. So, I mean...
I don't know, man. I've been very critical of Nokia recently, and some people have been saying, you know, Pat, why...
Deservedly so.
Why do you got it in for Nokia? I'm like, I don't have it in for Nokia. My issue with Nokia is these guys were like the first, you know, Linux-based smartphone, you know, internet tablet guys out there. They were out there before everybody else, so they had such a lead.
Frittered it away.
Totally screwed it up. Absolutely.
They could have been there.
Man.
Yeah.
Totally.
They could have been there.
Did they relinquish like control of MAMO to Moblin, or like what do they do? They cut their...
They're calling it a merger.
Calling it a merger.
It's going to be managed by the Linux Foundation.
Oh, okay.
Mergers are never mergers. I've been through mergers, corporate mergers and stuff, and it's never equal. It's usually one is dominant over the other. They call it a merger for everybody to save face.
Now, how do you merge computer code? Ugly hat.
Nokia was still in control of stuff. It could have been a good thing for Mobilin because that doesn't seem to be getting, you know, once Intel turned it over, it didn't seem to be getting too much done to it. Maybe Fintel would have, you know, held on to it. They could have created maybe the ultimate, like, netbook kind of platform since they were in control over the processor and the software. But
well, and Intel turned Mobilin over to the Linux Foundation. So now with the merger, MAMO is essentially in control of the Linux Foundation, which means MAMO is going to kind of go the same way MoBlend did,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, that's why they might kind of both fall to the wayside.
The Linux Foundation should stick to promoting the kernel and the use of the kernel and leave everything else to the community. That's just my opinion. If they want to do anything, they should collect money and help distribute money to the different distributions and help them along, rather than trying to do their own thing. I don't know. I mean, I support Linux. I support the Linux Foundation, but I just don't like the fact that it seems like they're taking over projects from different companies and other things. Basically, projects that Nokia or Intel didn't really want to have to do anything with anymore. That sound right, Pat?
I don't know. It's just disappointing. The impression that I get, I get the impression that, you know, Nokia really cares about Symbian. That's their OS. Okay,
yep.
MAMO is just a side project. You know, they dallied with it for a bit. You know, they talked a good talk. You know, if they were serious about it, they would have pushed it onto more devices. They haven't. They're not. Okay?
Yep.
MAMO's going bye-bye. They're gonna take Marblin. They're going to slap Qt, which they do care about, which is fine. I like Qt a lot. It's a nice widget set, you know, nice framework, and I'm curious to see what they come up with. You know, but they're doing the same thing with Symbian. They're slapping Qt on Symbian. So, you know, I'm just disappointed with them, you know. The N800, the N810 were great devices. It's just really disappointing to see, you know, how it went, you know.
Yeah. And Link's going to walk the dog, so we're not going to hear how he likes his droid.
Next week. You know, one more topic that I got to quickly bring up. Joel, I know you're with me on this, man. How about those freaking cheeseburger Doritos?
Amen, brother.
Holy crap, man.
Good stuff, man.
I know it's not the healthiest food in the world, but damn. When I first took a bite of those, I'm like, I got to try these. I'm like, oh my goodness, I could taste the lettuce and the tomato and the mayo on these
and
suckers.
And the cheese, too.
Yeah, you can just like, it's like I was eating a Whopper with cheese, man. I was blown away with how they taste just like a cheeseburger. My whole family's like,
they just need to add one thing, buddy. Bacon.
Well,
that would
be
awesome.
You
can
wrap it in a piece of bacon. How
there
about
you
that?
Go.
That would be too much flavor in there.
No, there you go. You just take some cheese and some bacon and melt it on top of that, of some of those Doritos, buddy.
Yeah, that's a heart attack waiting to happen, man.
Of course it is, but
they're delicious and scary at the same time. It's just not.
Yes, they
just
are.
It doesn't seem right to have that much flavor in a chip.
Moreover,
the specification is seen.
The new meme, started by Dan Washko.
Ay, ay, ay. Any
in
other
English?
Any other last minute things? Jonathan, anything you want to say?
No, I mean, if anyone wants to hook up with us, we have an Identica Frostbite system. There's no S because there wasn't enough letters. We have an Identica Frostbite system. We have a YouTube channel at Frostbite Systems where we're uploading tutorials and stuff on how to install different distros or install stuff with the Synaptic Package Manager, install stuff through the terminal. So every day we should be pumping up a few videos a day or so on that. We have a Facebook. Yeah, you can find us if you want to get in touch with us. We have a blog at frostbitesystems.org. So please get a hold of us if you ever have any questions or whatever. We're here to help out. So,
moreover, okay.
All right. Do you have a Buzz account yet for Frostbite?
Yeah, I do, but I haven't really gotten a chance to use it yet. Wait, I might like that better because for me, it's annoying trying to go to different, you know, go to log into Identica and then go here and go there. I'd like it a lot better if I could aggregate everything into one spot, you know.
You can do that with Chocok or Gwibber. Well, you can't do Buzz with Chocok or Gwibber.
Yeah, well, I know the last time I tried Gwibber, it didn't work with Orca at all. And I contacted the maintainer of it on Identica, like, hey, could you try get this working with Orca? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure, but I haven't got a chance. I heard Pat, I think, talking about it last week, saying the PPA on it, it's come a long way, so I might give it a try again.
Yep, sure has.
You just gotta hope that the day that you downloaded it actually works.
Yeah, really. It's like, oh, there's an update to Gwibber. Oh, I can't tweet. It's broken.
Yeah, it'd be a lot better if I tweet stuff, because it's just, I don't know. It's a necessary evil, so. But usually the Web 2.0 kind of stuff isn't too friendly with, like, screen readers and stuff, so.
That's a good point there. Unfortunately, we don't have much time to talk about it, but oh well.
So.
All right, well, we better wrap this up because it's almost 10:30, and Gorkon's going to need his beauty sleep after that last explosion. So,
you got really excited there.
Yeah, you did. Got a song called, you know, in a tribute to Joel right there, Border Blaster by Josh Woodward. Woodward, off the Breadcrumbs album. That's a Jamendo. It's, I believe it's...
Bacon Cheeseburger Turtles.
Yeah, Bacon Cheeseburger.
That's all I got to say.
Did that's your friend evil. Try one of those, Pat?
They're not real. I didn't eat it, but they're not real. What they are, they're hamburgers, okay? Wrapped in cheese, so it's a cheeseburger wrapped in bacon pieces, okay? And then what they do is they get a hot dog, and they cut the hot dog to look like the head and the legs of a turtle. And it looks creepy when you see it.
I thought it looked good.
Yum, yum. And I'd like to know what Link thinks, but Link isn't on right now. He had to go walk the dog, the real dog. All right. Lady night.
All right, here we go.
Good night,
have
everybody.
Have a great one. Next week we have. Next week we have.
Google Summer Code,
don't we? Yeah.
Yep.
So we'll see you soon. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You are welcome.
Nighty night.
Left in the dead of the new moon's veil, I clung to the side of the camouflage trail. I was over the river before the sky was awake. I've kept my ear pressed to the transistor radio. The station is all I have left from my little home. Don't want to leave, but this sorrow was all I could take. A staticky voice through the crackling speaker has followed me all the way here. The longer I go, we both will get weaker till one of us just disappears. Don't want to go, but my duty is stronger than fear. I worked 20 years without nothing to show, so I left behind everything that I've known in the hope that my family won't need hungry again. They stopped me the last time I tried this migration. I'm the overflow man in this melting pot nation. The only thing here in this desert is northerly wind. And I'm not really sure where the oxygen's going, but it followed me all the way here. line on the map didn't stop it from blowing. It's free, and that one thing is clear. I don't wanna go, but my duty is stronger than fear. And the sun, it doesn't care if it's here or if it's over there. It just passes through the stratosphere until it goes away. I once watched a sparrow fly south for the winter. Her feathers were thin and her body was thinner, but we had enough there to feed her until she was well. The seasons are cycles that go back and forth. One day it's south and the next it is north. They just need a little relief till the snow starts to melt. Today she's returning to look for her nest, and she's followed me all the way here. Nothing to hold but the meat on her breast and the promise of one more year. The radio man is still playing his songs, but the signal is not quite as clear here. I'd rather be back the place I belong, but my family's needing me. Don't wanna go, but my duty is stronger than fear. I don't wanna go, but my duty is stronger than fear.
Whether you've only heard of Linux or if you're an expert, here's your chance to learn more about it at the Southern California Linux Expo. For 2010, Scale has expanded to 5 speaker tracks. The expo now includes a beginner's track for those new to Linux and a developer's track for the coders out there. Scale will have over 50 speakers who will cover the latest topics in open source, and the expo floor will have over 80 booths with both commercial and nonprofit organizations showing off their products and software. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 19th, 20th, and 21st, 2010 at the Westin LAX Hotel in Los Angeles. For more information or to register for the expo, visit SoCalLinuxExpo.org. Use promo code CAST, C-A-S-T, for 40% off of your registration. We'll see you at Scale 8X.
About the new search of computers?
Can we talk about multiprocessing?
Can we talk about Beowulf clusters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just talk geek to me.
Just talk geek to me.
Hey, it's Deep Geek. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us. Thank you.
Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
And that is it.
Daddy has a gun! Damn it, Dan, I blame you. Cheeseburger Doritos. Oh.
I know, they're so good.
My wife helped eat the bag, though, so I don't feel altogether bad. Oh. I gotta go get more of them things. Those are good. And Punchkies, too, because it was Fat Tuesday week. You might have called him. I think they call him Fosnox back in Lehigh Valley.
Fosnot, yeah, F. Fosnot. Traditionally, Fosnot Day is Fat Tuesday.
Yep. Those things are good too, man. And they're better. I think they're better than donuts myself, but
it's anyway. Sometimes it's hard to find a Fosnot.
You probably can only get punchkies down there, the Polish ones. That's what the only thing I can find here. Good stuff though. What in the world is that?
That was your my dog? Dog.
Your dog? You have a rat dog?
Wow, yeah.
Little rat dog. My dog would eat that dog for dinner. She's a big girl. Oh, puppy. She won't come in here anymore during tech show. I don't know why. I think I make too much noise. What's a good show, though, man? All right. Well...
Here's one for you. This is great. Oh, man. How about this for a Lifetime episode? I don't know if you were reading it. I'm going to read it out loud. I got to read it back out loud. Hold on. Oh, crap. Where is it? Where is it?
Two burritos, one shirt.
No, it wasn't two burritos, one shirt. No, the one. It's two guys, one shirt. The story of 3:30 and Pegwall. Up next on the Lifetime Channel. A man and his little retarded buddy find that there is more to life than weed in the wintry weeks when the university is closed. But when a stranger offers Peg Wilson candy, 3:30 must come to Tootsie Trail as he begins to find chunks of Tootsie Pop in Peg Wilson's rectum. He must ask himself, how many sticks does it take to get to the middle of Peg Wilson's Tootsie Pop?
Oh. I don't hear what 3:30 is doing right now. He's probably cracking up too. He must ask himself how many sticks does it take to get to the middle of Bagwell's Pussy Pop.
The specification is seed. Moreover.
Pete will have a good chuckle. Of course, we won't get to find out about it till April. What brilliant freaking idea was that, man?
What?
About the Cranks hiatus.
No, they're coming back before April. It's only going to be a week or two.
Oh. It sounded like Klaatu was pissed off about something.
He was a little cranky this past week.
He was very cranky, man. He's like, alright. He's like, what? Can we get back on topic? I'm like, dude, this is Linux Cranks. There is no topic. The topic is bullshit. It's part Linux show, part comedy. That's what the Cranks is. And the specification is seen. Moreover.
I gotta get this show put out. I gotta stop this recording. You have a great week, Joel. Buzz away, my good friend. Buzz
you
away.
Do, buzz away. At random to any one of layers, like 37, 30,000 people on it at any one time. and you have a random chance of seeing, let's see, penises, tits, idiots dancing around, teenagers. It's pretty freaking bizarre. Pretty freaking bizarre. Dan would get a kick out of it.
I am familiar by name only because my wife had been there. And she said that she stopped just checking it out. She stopped to check it out, and she said the first guy was in a Darth Vader costume, and I think the second guy was naked.
The second guy was
masturbating.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I would say masturbating. Who, me?
How do you guys know this?
Who do you think the second guy was?
There's something about being anonymous to the guy. Yeah. Don't lie, Dan. You were the naked guy masturbating.
No, I think we already established who that was.
But anyway, you can see all kinds of weird, funky stuff on there, which is why it's so fun.
Yeah, I bet you're enjoying yourself on that site.
Whatever. No. What's funny is the morons who sit there just stroking it and expect people to actually sit. The other person has just as much power as you do to change who you're chatting with. You just hit F9 and you're on to the next camera. All of a sudden, there's this guy stroking his tallywhacker. It's like, F9. But
sick people in this world, man.
Yeah, lots of sick people.
So, riddle me this, Joel.
Probably the hoagie guy was probably on that.
How many guys do you watch masturbating a day on this channel, and how long do you spend?
Never. None.
Guy, before you decide to move on to the next.
About before not even that. Half a second. We're like
not big enough.
Zero seconds.
But you know he's got a compilation video that's several minutes long.
Not enough girth. A little too much pubic hair. A little too less pubic hair. I can't find the perfect penis.
Dan, you're the one who's asking about looking for the perfect penis, and it's not me that's asking that. I'm.
It's got a point there, Dan. You're the one who brought it up.
And then 5 minutes later, 5 minutes later, Joel's on BuzzFeed talking about how he likes watching hot dogs being tossed around.
Again, you just said it. I didn't.
I know, man. I read your buzz. I read your buzz.
We're starting to see the pattern here. He's making it really plain.
What?
Yeah, I know. You are, Dan. Dan the man.
So is this
gonna start the show? Or what, man? Are we gonna?
Is this indicative of how the rest of the show is gonna go?
I hope not.
I hope not.
We go
seriously
deep in the blue humor.
Hey, if it was Jono on, then we'd really have already been there, so.
Well, we could ask him what he did to Chris DeBona to get those two free phones.
Yeah, no kidding. I did like the review, though. It was a good review.
All and 17 fair. Minutes of it.
Yeah, really. It was a shot review.
Shot of Jack.
Anyway, more power to them.
What did they give them next phones? Is that what they got?
Yeah, they got like $1,000
worth
of phones for 17 minutes worth of talking.
I should see if DeBona wants to donate to the blind and hook me up with one.
Hey, you need to get Orca ported to it.
No, there's already a program on it called Eyes Free. And, really cool. Yeah, it's really cool. Like, if you look under Eyes-Free, it'll, basically, it has its own, homepage, basically.
Wait, save it. We can talk about it on the show. Talk about it on the show. Get this started, Dan.
Bom, ba, bom, ba, bom.
We get hear music this week, Dan, or not?
No, I told you.
Of course not.
Soundcards, for some reason, are not supporting it.
You want me to play some music and you can hear it?
I just played some music in my pants.
Dude, I get those emails all the time. You can have a symphony in your pants.
Yeah, well, I just played the bass drum,
Whether
buddy.
You've only heard of Lennox, or if you're an expert, here's your chance to learn
more like
about
a tuba.
It at the Southern California Lennox Expo. For 2010, tuba. Scale has expanded to 5 speaker tracks. The
Seems
expo
like
now
Joel
includes
knows.
A beginner's track for those new to Lennox, and a developer's track for the code.
What do I know?
Scale will have over 50
talking about
speakers
Link's junk
will cover
tuba.
The latest topics in open source, and the expo will have over 80 booths
Jump.
With both commercial
Jump.
And non-profit
no, that's
showing off.
Oh, look at that. They got Acer Aspire 1s for $239 on Link.com.
Well, you know what? I don't want an Aspire 1.
LAX Hotel in Los Angeles. For more information or to register for the expo,
I want
to
ask
one
of
those
triple-E.org. Use promo code CAST.
I like it too, actually.
For 40% off of your registration, we'll see you at Scale.
It needs a better graphics card, though.
I'm Austin bound, get my feelings.
You did, didn't you?
Farted into the mic. Glad I don't have to use that mic. Go to Texas Linux. It's probably turning
really
green
funny
by now.
As you watch him fart into the mic and he sniffs it the whole show afterwards.
No. Link, he has a separate ass mic.
Oh no, it's the same one.
Seriously, you got the freaking show.
I was just
seeing
if I can get audio for you guys. You know, if you'd rather me not
try,
that's fine.
No, don't worry about it. We're used to it. Just tell us.
Yeah.
Wait, it's a little thing tech show, and that's bad.
Sounds excellent.
If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny today. Is that a little get bad?
I don't miss any, didn't.
But the Joe Link could be the TLNGS. Sounds like a big ass
part. I wonder why it's not coming through. I mean, it's right here. I can. I'm on right on the. Wait a second. Look at that. No. What is this? That is front audio.
It's an ass part.
Wait, what if I switch it to this? Nope.
Now that we're deaf.
I can't hear now.
That's it right there.
A part.
That's what it sounds like.
Right there, it is.
Sound.
Thank you.
Sam.
Fail.
It's a little thing tech show.
Alright, here we go. Mute yourselves. How you doing, Jonathan?
Good, yourself?